Start your day literally in Northwest London, Monday, 6th of Adar Rishon, 7th of February, Rabbi Yossi Kern Shliter, Lessons from the Klei HaMishkan. This week's Teruah has been sponsored by Family Grosnas, Lechvod Simchas HaNisoyen of Naftuli Grosnas and Chayel Hauge, Shetiskam Yitz Hashem, the 7th of Models of Yom Shlishi, of Leches Adar, 8th of February, Yossi Kern Shliter, Nemo, Yisro Hashem, Yisro
A very good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
It's really, truly a pleasure once again to have the opportunity after a long, over 2 years that I've been in London. This is always one of the highlights.
I missed you.
So I wanted to, in the short amount of time that we have, try and take a little bit about the Klei HaMikdash, Klei HaMishkan, which is the focus of the parashas we are reading, and incredibly repeated, word for word, kimat, in parashas Vayakhel. Tens and tens and tens of psukim are dealing with the details, the measurements, the materials of the Klei HaMishkan. Now, we always have a rule, and that is that the word Torah is from the word Hayrah, which means it's teaching. Everything in the Torah is always teaching. And in fact, one Talmud Chacham who started one of the institutions I teach in Yerushalayim many years ago, he was asked by a secular educator. He asked him, what is the difference between your school that you learn Tanakh and our school that we learn? Other Israeli schools also learn Tanakh. Even secular schools learn Tanakh. What's the difference between the two? And the profound answer he gave was that in your institutions, atem lomdim masha hanavi amar, etzleinu lomdim masha hanavi omer. We're not just learning what the Navi once upon a time said. We're learning what is the Navi saying to us. What is the Torah saying to us? It's all relevant. And with that relevance and with that constant being spoken to by the Torah, we need to analyze every single parasha. And when it comes to a parasha like this, that vividly describes to us measurements and materials, in what way is this talking to me today? In what way are all these details relevant to our lives today? When we go through the various kelim, the Aron, which is going to be the focus of what I'm going to speak about today, the Aron's been gone for thousands of years. It wasn't even then by its shame, let alone since. And here we have intricate details of its measurements, intricate details of the materials it was made from. And, you know, one wonders, and it's like making a DIY kit, exactly how to build the next Aron, or what is the Torah saying to us? What is the Torah talking to us about? Chofetz Chaim wrote many, many Sforim. One of his Sforim was called the Likutei Halachos. Yeah. And in his introduction to the Likutei Halachos, which is all about Kodshim, the Chofetz Chaim pleads with Klal Yisrael not to ignore Seder Kodshim. And part of his argument there is that many, many Masechtas and Shas are based upon one or two or maybe three Pesukim in Teresh HaBeksav. Kiddushin and Gittin and Adorim and Nazir, and the list goes on. You've promised so many Masechtas, which are thick, big, you know, whopping big Sforim, Masechtas with tens and sometimes even over 100 Dapim, are based on one or two Pesukim in Teresh HaBeksav. Says the Chofetz Chaim, when it comes to Seder Kodshim, look how many hundreds and hundreds, I mean literally hundreds of psukim, huge sections of Sefer Vayikra, are all talking about Korbonos. How can we ignore that? And I think the same argument could be said about Klei HaMikdash, Klei HaMishkan. If the Torah spends so many psukim discussing the details, then obviously this is something which really needs to be delved into and learnt. And in fact, Rabbeinu Bechai in one place actually writes that doing this, delving into this, learning about this, shows our chavivas for it, shows our chavivas for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Mishkan, for the Avodah, and that itself can accomplish tremendous things. Just to show you, before we spend a little bit of time delving into the ideas that we can glean from these details, just to show you how the greatest of the great thought about, appreciated, concentrated on the Kli HaMikdash. In Sefer Shmuel, the Sukkim tell us in Perik Gimel, this is the transition from the world of Eli HaKohen over to Shmuel HaNovi, which in the Mishnah would actually be the transition between Zakenim and Nevi'im. So the Pasuk there tells us, Perik Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, V'ner Elekim Terem Yichveh. The light of the menorah, this is the Mishkan Shiloh, the light of the menorah had not yet been extinguished. Meaning the menorah was still alight. U'Shmuel Shoichev V'Heichal Hashem Asher Shomarein Elekim. And Shmuel was lying down, sleeping, in the Heichal Hashem, where the Oren Elikim is. Chazal here asks, how could it possibly be that Shmuel, who was a Levi, is sleeping in the Mokim HaMikdash? He's not allowed to be there. The Mishkan, he's not allowed to be. He's a Levi, he's not even allowed to even enter there, let alone sleep there. How can the Pasuk read, U'Shmuel Shoichev V'Heichal Hashem Asher Shomarein Elikim? So Chazal tell us that the Pasuk has to be read as follows. V'ner Elikim Terem Yichveh. V'ner Elikim, which is the menorah, had not yet been extinguished. Where is this menorah? Now jump to the end of the Pasuk. The menorah is V'Heichal Hashem, in V'Heichal Hashem, where the Oren Elikim is. And the two middle words, U'Shmuel Shoichev, are a separate entity of their own. Shmuel Shoichev, wherever he was sleeping. And in fact, it is an esnachta under the word Shoichev to give you an understanding that it's not to be continued with the following words of Shmuel Shoichev Beheichal Hashem. Shmuel was sleeping where he was sleeping. And the beginning of the Pasuk, talking about the menorah, links to the end of the Pasuk, which talks about the Heichal Hashem, where the Oren was. And the Malbim asks the obvious question, which I'm sure everyone here is wondering. If that's the case, just simply say, V'ner Elikim Terem Yichboeh Beheichal Hashem Asher Shomer Elikim. U'Shmuel Shoichev. Why sandwich U'Shmuel Shoichev in between the Oren and the Menorah? Why are you talking about Shmuel Shoichev bang in the middle of discussing the Menorah and the Oren? And the profound answer that the Malbim gives here, which itself is a discussion, but the answer he gives is that Shmuel obviously was not allowed to enter here. For sure not sleep here. So Shmuel was physically somewhere else. But do you want to know where Shmuel was? Shmuel's mind, Shmuel's heart, Shmuel's thoughts. They were in the Mishkan. Sandwiched between the Oren, sandwiched between the Menorah, thinking about the messages and the deep ideas and connecting to the Kodesh Kedoshim. A person is where their mind is, not necessarily where their body is. And again, there's many proofs in that concept, that we are defined not necessarily where our physical body is, but where our mind is, where our thoughts are. But I'm saying here that you actually see here that Shmuel is being defined as sleeping in the Kodesh, sandwiched between those two holy kelim, because that is where his mind was. No one less than Shmuel HaNovi spent his time thinking about these things, connecting to these things, obviously on levels we could never reach, but we clearly see that. And this enormous appreciation for the Kli HaMikdash, especially here we're focusing on the Oren, is not uniquely something that a man would appreciate. That very same episode, just a little bit afterwards, we have the tragic destruction of Mishkan Shiloh. And there we are told, again, about the tragic death of Eli HaKohen's two children, Chofni and Pinchas, and a disaster took place in Klal Yisrael. Thousands were killed by the Plishtim. The Oren Elikim was taken into captivity. And there again, the Pesukim tell us that an Ish Bin Yomin, which Chazal tell us was actually Shaul, was one of the few survivors of that battle. He ran away from the battlefield. He came to Shiloh. And Eli HaKohen, who at the time was 98 years old, blind, was sitting at the entrance. And the Pasuk tells us he was worried. He was trembling about the Oren Elikim. There was a tremendous tumult, tremendous fear in the city. And Eli hears shouting. The prophet tells as follows. And the man, which Chazal tells us was actually Shaul, it's the first time we actually come across him. And Shaul said to Eli, I came from the battlefield and I escaped from there today. And Eli asks him, tell me what happened. Now, if heaven forbid, one has to relay tragic news to someone else, and chas v'sholom, there's multiple tragedies, so the rule is, in such a circumstance, you go mehakal el hakovid. You tell the person the least painful, and slowly but surely get to the most. And that's exactly what Shaul did. Vayar hamavaseh vayomer. Nos Yisrael lifnei plishtim. Klal Yisrael had to escape from the plishtim. Number one. That itself is a catastrophe. Vegam mageifa gedoyla hoysa ba'om. There was a tremendous mageifa that struck the people. Getting worse. Vegam shnei bonecha mesu. And your two sons died. Chofni u'Pinchas. Which might also be in order. One was greater than the other. And then last, but by all means most, Va'aroin ho'elekim nilkecha. And the Aron Elekim was taken into captivity. And the pasuk very clearly tells us, Vayihi ka'azkiro es Aron ho'elekim, when he heard that the Aron Elekim was taken, Vayipol ma'ala kisei achiran, as he fell off his chair backwards, and the pasuk describes to us that he died. For him, the greatest tragedy was the Aron Elekim being taken into captivity and the tremendous Chil Hashem involved. He was on that Madrega that he could actually, and Shaul knew that, be most upset about this. But the fascinating thing is that the end of that Pirik, which tells us about the tragic death of his daughter-in-law, the Kalosei, his daughter-in-law, this is the wife of Pinchas. Hora, she was pregnant and she went into emergency labor. Something went wrong. Vatishma is Hashmua, and she heard the news. Listen how they apparently told her. The Chidor makes this point. They understood that by her, the order of Mehakal and Hakoved needs to be switched. So she heard the Shmua in the following order. El Hilokach Aron Elekim, that the Aron Elekim was taken. That's going to be for you, a woman, the least painful thing. Umeis Chomiha, and the death of her father-in-law. By this point, Eli was dead. That's getting worse. The Isha. And obviously, they assume the most painful thing for her to hear is that her husband, Pinchas, has died. And the pasuk tells us, Vatichra Vatelet, she went into emergency labor and she gave birth. Kinefcho Lehot Sireho. Which means that the birth pangs got turned upside down in some sort of irregular fashion. But there are those that say, Ki nehefchu olehot sireho, is not just referring to her contractions and her physical pain in giving birth. But some learn, Nehefchu olehot sireho, from the word tsaros, that tsaros was switched in the wrong order for her as well. That sireho, the tsaros that she was told, they assumed that for her, the oron would be the easiest thing to hit. But actually, she went into emergency labor. They told her, don't worry, you've given birth to a son. She didn't answer for a few moments. And she called the child E-Kovid. And they, at the time, this is how some explain it, they at the time explained that Gola Kovid me Yisrael. Kovid has been banished from Klal Yisrael because the Aron Kim was taken and your father-in-law and your husband, and the husband was killed. But her last dying words, she literally, moments before she left this world, she says, Batoime, Gola covered me Yisrael, kinil kacharin olikim. And she died. She says the Chidor also, can you imagine? It's hard to imagine. I'm talking about someone who's in agony, who just gave birth, just lost her husband, the father-in-law, and is about to lose her life. She's about to leave this world. And even she could come to such an appreciation that the greatest of all the tragedies here is the Chil Hashem of the Aron Elekim being taken into captivity. So, This is all as a sort of an introduction, just to show the enormous, enormous appreciation under such shocking circumstances that the greatest of the great men, women, had for the Kalim, for the Oren, for the Inyan that we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about. So, just a few words about the Oren and Shittim, the first one of the Kalim. V'asu Oren Atzei Shittim. The Torah tells us that the Bnei Yisrael v'asu, and they shall make an Oren made from Atzei Shittim, Amosayim v'chetzi Arkoi, v'ama v'chetzi Rachboi, v'ama v'chetzi Kemosi. And as I mentioned earlier, when we learn these psukim, the Torah is telling this to me. And therefore, every word here is relevant. I want to know why everyone's making it. I want to know why there's wood. And I want to know why, of all the woods to choose from, for some reason the Torah chose shittim wood. There's a big variety of woods out there. What's the difference? What wood do you make it from? The wood in this room, you know, obviously it has to be good quality wood, but it makes such a difference which wood it is, where it comes from. And if the Torah is telling me all this, this has a relevance to my life. So, the first word for asu, this itself is a very interesting thing. Chazal brings this down, and Ramban elaborates on this, that with all the other kelim, it says va'asisa, and you shall make. And you shall make the menorah, and you shall make the mizbeach. Instructing the Btzalel, the architect. But here the Torah uses the plural, va'asu, and they shall make. And Chazal tells us that the Oren, which we know, is symbolic of Keser Torah. It's symbolic of the crown of Torah. Inside the Oren are the Luchos. Inside the Oren, some Chazal say, one of you is, there's a Sefer Torah. This is the pillar, this is the Keli, which symbolizes Keser Torah. And when it comes to Torah, there can be no bystanders. No one can stand on the side and say, this is not relevant to me. Keser Kehuna, Keser Halchus. You're either in the royal family, you're not in the royal family, you're either a Kohen, you're not a Kohen, but Torah, there's no such thing as being a bystander. Whether we learn it, or whether we help it being learned, or whether we finance it, so whatever it is, every single Jew, man and woman, Kohen, Levi, Israel, has to have a connection to Torah, has to have some kesher towards the Torah. And therefore, here, Vasu, everybody has to be part of this. The Ramban here asks the obvious question, how can everybody build an Oren? I understand how everybody can have a connection to Torah, but how can everybody in Klal Yisrael build an Oren? Too many builders will spoil the Oren. So the Ramban gives three options of how everyone in Klal Yisrael can have a kesher to the Oren. Option number one, donate some gold. There's a certain amount of gold needed for the inner box, the external box. Donate some gold. Okay. I think if you realize how much gold is needed, it's also quite limited. It's not so thick, it's not so large, it's only Amasayim Bachetzi. It's not a huge construction, it's not such a massive thing. Okay, so I imagine we need quite a few thousand people to donate a bit of gold. No, I haven't accounted for millions. Option number two, says the Ramban, help Bezalel. The man who's building the actual Oren, help him build it. I make him a coffee, I don't know, give him a screwdriver, help him build it. But then again, one wonders how many people can actually be helping Bezalel physically to build the Oren. Then says Ramban, this is really something to think about, very profound words, the Ramban then says three words, option number three. Oy sheyechavnu badav, or have kavana. Kavana can create, kavana can build. An eye opener. With kavana, I can be part of the physical building of the Oren, although I never touched it, although I never donated a penny. But I want to be there. I have a rotzen to connect. I had kavana to be part of this. Everyone has to have a chelik in this. Then the Torah tells us that this Oren, which is made by everyone, because again we all have to have a kesher to this, should be made from atzei shittim. The wood aspect the Mefarshim discusses a remes to the zvulans of the world, the financial supporters of Torah, who are intrinsically part of everything that happens in the world of Torah. They are the ones that make it happen, they create the infrastructure for it to happen, and they are absolutely connected to the Torah. It's like when we do Hagbah, we hold on to the Atzei Chaim. Those wooden handles with which we raise the whole Sefer Torah are symbolic of these zvulums of the world. Because without them, they are the support system. They are what raise the Torah. They are the ones that hold the Torah. So, as an intrinsic part of this keli, which is symbolic of Keser Torah, you have Atzei, a remez to Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Bo. Adam Mefarshim learned that also with the poles. It's elaborated on that this Zvulun part is extremely intrinsically connected to the whole Kedusha Sa'ara. But interestingly, it's not just wood. The Torah specifically tells me which type of wood. Atzei Shittim. Atzei Shittim. And one wonders, why would the Torah specifically choose one type of wood? The Torah is telling me this detail. It's not just telling me about what happened then, and what, if you're curious to know, or just wondering what the Aron was made from. The Torah is talking to me. The Torah is telling me about this keli. And whoever you are, whatever shape that you come from, in fact, the Svarim say that the word keli is an acronym for Kohen Levi Yisrael as well. Whoever you are from Klal Yisrael, the messages of the keli, of all the kelim, is what will make you into a keli. And we need to understand what its message is. And Tzadik HaKohen, in one place, he talks about this Atzei Shittim. He actually says that, actually, if I would have a choice of woods, Shittim would be my last choice. Because Shittim, we find later on in the Chumash, is associated with the most immorally decayed place ever. It is associated with the story of Cosby and Zimri. It happened in Shittim, the end of Parshas Balak. The story of Benoit Smile. Shittim? Shittim? That's what I want as a centerpiece of the Aron? Shittim wood? Which is, again, the Satan's headquarters. It's the Satan's headquarters. It is associated with the most immorally decayed episode in the Chumash. Benoit Smile, that's what happens. The Medrash says that that place was so immorally decayed that someone who drank from the reservoirs of Shittim was driven to inappropriate behavior. Shittim, that's in the Kodesh Kodoshim. That's the Satan's headquarters. In fact, Kadmonim point out that Shittim and Satan have the same gematria. They have the same gematria. Is that what I want as the centerpiece of the Aron Elikim, which holds the Luchos Keseter? But actually, that's the very reason why the Torah told us to use Shittim wood. Because the only way a person can control the world of the Yetzer Hara, the only way a person can dominate and conquer the world of the Satan is, as Chazal say, in Paga b'cha manuvel zeh, moshcheu lebeis ha-medrash. If that wretched devil, if that dangerous force ever attacks a person, you have to draw it, you have to drag it into the Beis HaMedrash. Borosin cha yetzara, borosin cha teret havin. And the Torah is hinting to us here that if we take that world of Shittim and we put ourselves into the Aron, we take the world of Torah and we learn it, the Koyach HaTorah, only the Koyach HaTorah, can extinguish that fire, or in an ideal scenario, in an even more ideal scenario, channel the Taiva for the wrong things and eventually channel it and direct it into a Taiva for the right things. Hamorach Sheba Machzira Lamutim. If a person throws themselves into Torah learning and allows the Torah to impact them, I repeat, allows the Torah to impact them. Sometimes one can learn Torah and not let it impact you. But if a person allows it to do what it can do, Skulas HaTorah is such that Hamor Shabam Machzir Namutav. And it can turn the whole world, the whole inappropriate world of Shittim, and transform it into a title for something which is the most lofty cause, the world of Torah itself. By using Shittim wood, the Torah is hinting to you or the only solution is to be to be the way a person is, can be and should be. And it's interesting when Chazal tell us Barasi Lecha Yetzahara, Barasi Lecha Torah Tavlin, so you often translate the word Tavlin as an antidote. The truth is, the Sforim point out, Tavlin literally means spices. Tavlinim are spices. Taste, exactly. In other words, what it seems to be saying to us is that I gave you a Yetzahara and I gave you Torah to spice it. Meaning, not to extinguish it necessarily. Obviously, in its inappropriate form, it's not to be done. But if a person really throws themselves properly into Torah and develops a cheshik for Torah, and learns it correctly, the Torah's skula and koyach is that it can spice that very inappropriate drive and turn it into the springboard for growth in Torah. There's a similar idea that we find when Yaakov Avinu, who's the pillar of Torah, was attacked by the Sarah Shel Esav, which in essence is the serpent. And that tremendous battle which took place throughout the night, Ad Alos HaShachar, that tremendous battle, which Yaakov at the end was victorious. But at the end of that whole battle, there's a very interesting conversation that takes place. The Sarah Shel Esav, the serpent, asks Yaakov, "What is your name?" To which Yaakov politely responds, "My name is Yaakov." To which the Sultan says back to him, "No longer is your name Yaakov, from now on your name is Yisrael." Very interesting. "And what, may I ask, is your name?" To which the Sarish Alesov says, "Why are you asking my name?" Which is a rather interesting response. It was another discussion. But in this very discussion, the Sultan himself says to him, that now that you have defeated me, how the Sforim explain this, now that you have defeated me, your name is Yisrael. And the Sforim HaKadoshim is quoted in the Sefer Lekech Malibu from Kadmonim. The Sforim point out a very fascinating gematria. Yaakov plus Satan, not minus, plus Satan is the gematria Yisrael, 541. If you take the gematria of Yaakov plus Satan, it equals Yisrael. Plus Satan? I would have thought you knocked him out. You get rid of him. No. He's actually the one who is our biggest advocate. He gives us all the opportunities that build us to become the Yisrael that we can become. The title Yisrael is a title that we earn when we not knock out the Satan necessarily, but we conquer him and everything he offers us, which might initially look like a grenade, but is actually not a grenade, it's actually a big diamond if we don't listen to him. He's giving us opportunities to build ourselves by taking everything he offers and conquering it in the appropriate fashion, and then that will build us from the Yaakov that we are. Through him, with him, we now become the Yisrael that we can become. So the Shittim concept, everything that Shittim Gematria Satan offers us, is actually what we can incorporate to become a chelik of the Kodesh Kadoshim, a chelik of something which brings all the shefa and all the brachas to the world. So this is just the first few words, but gives a little bit of a taste, a tavlin of the incredible messages of these parashias, and Ezra Hashem, the learning it and appreciating it and letting it hopefully impact our lives, will emit Hashem in that schus, return all these kelim, and emit Hashem will be able to see them in real life and do the avoid with them in real life. And emit Hashem is zeichet to Mashiach to kelim. Thank you very much. Yeah.